Welcome to installment 93 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains six commandments, five prohibitions relating to marriage partners for a Kohen or Kohen Gadol, prohibitions 158 through 162, and positive commandment 38, the commandment for the high priest to marry a Besula, a virgin. There are four different categories of forbidden relationships regarding a Kohen and Kohen Gadol which are discussed in the Parsha of Emor in the book of Leviticus chapter 21. One category is a woman who is called a zona, or an immoral woman. This is referring to a woman who has had relationships, sexual relations, with someone that is forbidden to her by Jewish law. This would include an incestual relationship, someone she is related to, or a man she would be forbidden from marrying, such as a non-Jew. Relations with any of these people would make her a zona. The second category is a chalala, literally a profaned woman. This is referring to a case, for example, where a woman would be forbidden from having relations with a Kohen, or even a Kohen Gadol. Let us imagine, as we will learn, a case of a widow who is forbidden to a high priest, although she is allowed to marry a regular Kohen. However, since she has had a forbidden relationship with a Kohen, she has had relations with a Kohen Gadol, she is thereafter forbidden to a Kohen. And so too, if there is any children issuing from that relationship, also would be forbidden to a subsequent Kohen. So let us imagine a woman who was a zona, as we described the first of the categories, and she had relations with a Kohen. The children thereafter would be a chalala, would be chalalim, and would be forbidden to a subsequent Kohenim. A third category is a grusha, a woman who is divorced. And a fourth category, which we'll discuss, is an almana, a widow. And the first three categories we discussed, a zona, chalala, and grusha, are prohibited to any Kohen. And these are prohibitions 158, 159, and 160. 158 is the prohibition that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a zona who has had relations with someone forbidden to her on a previous occasion. Prohibition 159 is the prohibition against a Kohen marrying a halala who has had relations with a Kohen under forbidden conditions or born to it as a result of such a forbidden relationship. This is prohibition 159. And prohibition 160 is a Kohen entering a marital relationship with a grusha, a woman who is divorced. All of these prohibitions derive from the same verse. As the verse says, Isha zeina v'chalala lo yikachu, he may not marry, the Kohen, this is speaking about, the Kohen may not marry a zeina v'chalala. And it continues, V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu, a woman divorced from her husband, also he may not marry. As we discussed previously in our discussion of the divorce laws, it is permitted for a man to remarry a wife that he has divorced, as long as she has not been married to someone else in the interim. In fact, it is a mitzvah for a man to remarry the wife that he has divorced. However, a Kohen that would divorce his wife would be forbidden from marrying her back, since a Kohen is forbidden from marrying a divorced woman. It results in an interesting case discussed in the Talmud, as in many cases a Kohen might, in a fit of anger, wish to divorce his wife. Should he divorce her, and later on calm down and wish to marry her back, he will be forbidden from doing so, since now she is a divorced woman. Therefore, our sages decreed a particularly difficult procedure to prevent a Kohen from divorcing his wife under such conditions. There are very special laws that must be made in a very intricate way, with certain knots and certain folds and so on, a get mekushet. And therefore, our sages hope that in the interim, since it would take so long to write this document of divorce, the Kohen would calm down and realize that he did not really want to divorce his wife. A Kohen that violates any of these prohibitions is punished by lashes. Prohibition 161 applies exclusively to the Kohen Gadol, that he is forbidden from marrying an almana, a widow. In this mitzvah, Prohibition 161, the Rambam goes on a lengthy technical discussion of how to determine how many mitzvahs are actually contained in these few verses. As the Rambam said in his introduction to Sefer HaMitzvahs, that the purpose of this work is to clearly elucidate how many mitzvahs are included in the total of 613. In other words, which ones are counted as one mitzvah, and so other ones have two details count as two mitzvahs, and so on. And therefore, the Rambam must justify why he is counting the prohibition on a Kohen to marry these three categories of Zayna, Chalola, and Grush as three mitzvahs. Whereas for a Kohen Gadol, there is only one mitzvah. Although all four are mentioned again in the verse by a Kohen Gadol. It says that a Kohen Gadol may not marry also any of these four categories instead of just three. Perhaps it should count as four mitzvahs. Or perhaps the three by the Kohen should count as one. And the Rambam now explains his position. Regarding the three commandments for a regular Kohen, the Rambam briefly described in his ninth principle and explains at more length here that it is clear there must be separate mitzvahs. How do we have the idea of a lav shebeklolus, which means a general commandment which includes several details? For example, one may not eat the Passover sacrifice na umavushal, either raw or cooked in water. Rather, one must eat it only broiled. Does this prohibition against eating it raw or cooked count as one mitzvah or two mitzvahs, one prohibition for raw and another prohibition for cooked? The Rambam says in his introductory principles that we must look and see how many sets of lashes would one get if one ate raw and cooked meat from the Passover sacrifice. Would he get two sets of lashes or one? If he would get two, it's two mitzvahs. If he would get one, it's one mitzvah. So too, the verse here lists the women that a Kohen is forbidden from marrying, a Zayna of a Chalala, and then adds the Isha Grusha Meisha, three different categories. Do they count as one commandment or separate commandments? And the Rambam quotes the Talmud, the Gemara in Kedushin, which says that the verse itself has split between the first two and the third. Zayna of a Chalala, the first two categories are mentioned together, and the third category, a Grusha, is mentioned separately. And we therefore come to learn that just as Grusha, a divorced woman, is considered to be a separate prohibition for a Kohen, a separate mitzvah, so too the others are all considered to be individual mitzvahs, and therefore all three are counted separately. And each one of the three would carry with it a separate punishment of lashes. We therefore learn that if a regular Kohen would marry a woman who was all three, let's say she was a divorced woman, and she was also a Zayna and also a Chalala, he would get three sets of lashes. What would be the case for a Kohen Gadol? So the Rambam quotes in the tractate Kedushin that if there was one woman who was all four, then a Kohen Gadol would get four sets of lashes, but only if she became in these four categories in that proper order. In other words, first she married someone, and then her husband died, she became a widow. And then, as the verse lists, in the next case, she married someone else and then was divorced. And then she married afterwards a Kohen Gadol, for example, and she became a Chalala. And then afterwards she had relations with someone prohibited to her and she became a Zona. So she is in all four categories. If she became in all those four categories in the order listed in the verse, first a widow, then divorced, then Chalala, then Zayna, then the Kohen Gadol who marries her would get four sets of lashes. If he married four separate women, each one of them a widow, one of them divorced, and so on, it was obvious he would get four sets of lashes. But even if it is one woman who was in all four categories, he also would get lashes of four sets. But how is this possible? The Rambam enters another technical discussion. We have a principle, Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. If something is already prohibited, how can it become prohibited a second time to gain a separate prohibition? And the Rambam explains this principle has three general exceptions. One exception is an Isser Maisif, which as we shall explain in our law here. A second exception is an Isser Kelil, if we have a more general prohibition. Let's say there was something prohibited, a prohibited fat, for example, and someone ate it on Yom Kippur. Since Yom Kippur is a general prohibition, including not only fat but anything else, one would get two prohibitions, two violations instead of one just for eating fat, or just Yom Kippur. The third exception to this rule, or within two prohibitions, come simultaneously. For example, a man that marries or has relations with his sister-in-law when she is still married to his brother. So he has two violations here. He is having relations with a married woman and also having relations with his sister-in-law. Since both prohibitions are occurring simultaneously, this would be an exception and he would be punished for both of these violations. In our case over here, in the four categories which are prohibited to the Kohen Gadol, they are called an Isser Maisif. Each one adds on another category of prohibition. For example, when she first became an almana, a widow, she is prohibited to a Kohen Gadol. When later on she remarried and then became divorced, she added on another category of prohibition. She is now prohibited to any Kohen, since she is a divorced woman. This is called an Isser Meisif. She has added on, and therefore there would be a second set of lashes. And so too, when she became a Chalola, she is disqualified from eating Truma. And Zayna is something prohibited to any Jew, as the Talmud explains. And therefore, he would get lashes for all four sets, all four types of prohibition. And this explains the Rambam is the reason why this only counts as one mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol, and nevertheless he gets four sets of lashes, although this seems to contradict his previous principle. If the Kohen Gadol would get four sets of lashes, why is it not four separate mitzvahs? But it is nevertheless considered a lav sheba klolos. It is one prohibition, including many different details. Why then do we have four separate sets of lashes? This is the purpose that Rambam says why the verse has to relist by the Kohen Gadol all four different groups of women, a widow and a divorced woman, and so on, to teach us that just like by the regular Kohen, there's a separate set of lashes for each one, for being a Zona and a Chalola and a Grusha. So too, by the Kohen Gadol, he would get a separate set of lashes for each, as explained in the Tractate Kedushin. These four commandments are discussed at length in Tractate Yevamos and Kedushin. We have an additional prohibition applying to the Kohen Gadol, Prohibition 162. Up until now, we've been speaking about cases of marriage, that the Kohen or the Kohen Gadol has married the woman prohibited to him and has had relations with her. If he only marries her and does not have relations with her, then in such a case, he would not be violating the prohibition. Both would have to occur. But Prohibition 162 applies explicitly to the Kohen Gadol and only in the case of a widow. If he has relations with her, even without marriage, he nevertheless is violating a prohibition and would get lashed for this separately. And the reason is that there is a separate verse, aside from this which we have quoted in relation to the Kohen Gadol, v'lo yechal zarei be'amav, that he should not profane his seed among the Jewish people, meaning that if he has relations with a widow and thereby causes her to have children, these children will be halalim, since they were the product of a forbidden marriage relating to the prohibition on a Kohen. So we see, since the verse says he shall not cause his offspring to be profaned, it is not relevant here whether he's married or not. The mere relation between them could result in a child being born, and this child will be disqualified from the kahuna. By a regular Kohen, should he have relations with a woman forbidden to him, although he is prohibited from doing so, and he will invalidate her for future generations of Kohenim, nevertheless, he would not get lashed because it is not a separate prohibition. This is not the case when the Kohen Gadol, as the Talmud says in Kiddushin. Should he marry her and have relations then, the Talmud says he would get two sets of lashes. The final commandment from today's portion is Positive Commandment 38, that the Kohen Gadol is required to marry a Bsula, a virgin. Furthermore, it says, Bibsuleha, not only is she a virgin, but she is in her virginity, which the Rambam explains in his legal code, she must be between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half years old. Although this commandment is really a prohibition, saying he may not marry anyone else other than a virgin, nevertheless, it is a positive commandment, since it is phrased in such a fashion. And the Rambam proves from the Talmud that this is considered to be a positive commandment from the statement of Rabbi Akiva, where he describes various sorts of illegitimate children, and he describes that even one, a child who was a product of a chayve essay, of a positive commandment, such as this one, and the Rabbi Akiva brings this example, would be an illegitimate child. We see, although the law is not like Rabbi Akiva in this instance, that nevertheless it is agreed that this is a positive commandment, and therefore it counts among the 613. This commandment is described in the sixth chapter of Yevamos, in fact, Ksubas and Kedushin. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.